One of the things I discovered is they didn't have a first 15. So they were going in with ideas to start their games, but not really having, I mean, the first 15 to 20, Kyle Shanahan goes 25. So that's like, you know, priority calls that you can go to that are so scripted and rehearsed. It's very error-free football.
That was Stacey Dales on The Morning Show last week, and alarm bells went off, and our Lawrence Holmes became the mayor of Worrytown.
The alarm bells should have gone off.
Yeah, they did.
And they did, and I was really glad that we started talking to people that we know who actually like played the game, and having Olin be like, oh yeah, that's concerning.
That's insane.
That's a concerning thing that the Bears have got going on, or had going on, up there. I think your feeling about it has been the right feeling, which is if at the end of this process, the players felt comfortable enough to go, this is not how things are usually done.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk with, they went to their head coach and said, coach, this isn't quite right. Coach goes, great. Go back down the chain of command. Go talk to your offensive coordinator and explain to him why it's not right. And if you have a problem, come back and see me about it. They go to Shane Waldron,
mm-hmm,
and they fix it.
Yep, and they did fix it. And that's where we end up. But the storyline got pushed along over the weekend by our guy, Kurt Warner, informed by Stacey Dales, who's on that NFL Network broadcast. So she brought all of that knowledge there, and they talked about it. And Rich Eisen teed up Kurt Warner for the question early on in the game. Was he concerned that the Bears did not have a first 15?
Well, Stacey was talking about the first 15 for the Chicago Bears, and this is what it does for a quarterback, is you want to try to get some easy drive starters, some easy throws for your quarterback to get them into a rhythm early, and we've seen that.
So, Kurt, Caleb Williams, we didn't see, obviously, very much so far, 3 and out. Why do you think he has improved over the last couple of weeks? How has it looked different to you?
Well, I believe the coaches are starting to understand him better, and not just him, understand everything else better. I love the theme that Stacey started with, the script. Maybe my best script story was back in my first year in 99, where Mike Martz would script plays, and he gave me the first play of our playoff game 3 days before the game so I could visualize each and every part of it. I'll finish the story here after the play.
It's first and 10 from the 30. Caleb rolling to his right with the play fake. That is a connection to his tight end, Cole Kmet, as you were saying.
But I could visualize every part of the play and visualize all the different coverages that I might get. What would I do in each and every situation? So we go out in that first playoff game. Still remember it. Act 6, 788 was the call, and I threw a 77-yard touchdown pass to Isaac Bruce on the first play of that playoff game. But so much was because I was able to see it and think through every scenario, and it's so much what that first 15 or that script is all about.
Were you surprised to hear, though, that the Bears did not have a first 15 scripted for the first couple games of the season until it was discussed internally by the
definitely
players,
surprised,
the
but let's, you know, be clear about this. Shane Waldron is a guy that has favorites, and things that he liked going into the game just didn't lay them out as 15 straight, but that 15 straight can just give a little more definition to your team and to your quarterback.
All right, so that's like one more nail in what felt like a coffin of like, oh my God, how awful this was. Like, really, Kurt telling that? And they're like, oh no, he's got plays. He's like, he just didn't tell them to the players as a first 15.
It's crazy. And it's funny that you hear in there Kurt saying what Olin had said to us. Where Olin's like, yeah, I got the script so I could go through it in my mind.
And Kurt's like, 3 days.
Yeah.
I had 3 days to think about it.
3 days to think about and the fact that those are the plays that you probably practiced uh-huh. the most to, yeah. that you felt the most comfortable about, the most calm about. So, yes, it was a big deal. Like, there are sometimes, Speaks, when we do this job, because of our role as people who aren't players, there are sometimes where I go, well, wait, are we making too much of this?
Excuse me, like never players?
Yeah. So,
I mean, you were a safety, right?
This is a long time ago. That doesn't matter. But for
as a center and a nose tackle.
For the Sequoias.
Yeah, thank you.
And a, well, I was
and off, a play caller.
I mean, play caller
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was play caller. I was offensive coordinator.
I didn't want to bring. Caller. I didn't want to bring my intramural quarterbacking into this.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they used to call me Slash back then.
did they really?
They did actually. First freshman team to ever end up in a championship game.
Oh, see?
It's pretty good.
All right, so I should know if I'm going to pull out my BS resume, you're going to top me
you're
with
damn
yours.
You're damn right. We got jobbed in that championship game, too.
Yeah, you did.
I'll never forgive. Mm. Never. Anyway, but hearing...
We'll get into that next week in the bye week. We'll have Bowen break down the tape.
Absolutely. Hearing both Olin and Kurt Warner... And Patrick Manley,
oh, yeah,
and everyone go.
It's awful.
Oh no, that's a bad idea. What the Bears were doing.
Let's go ahead and add on that. DJ Moore from this morning with Mully and Haw in a great appearance talking about the first 15. This does take a turn for me towards the end, though.
You can go into the game knowing that, knowing the set plays that we have to go in and just be on the details. As far as being shocked by a play call. That we may have not run as much in the week. So having that first 15 is a big, big deal.
Was that unusual to start a season without that based on your experience?
Yeah, probably like 6 out of the 7 years I've been playing. I've had an openers where it's 15. So when we didn't do it, it was like everybody was a little thrown off, but we was going to make it work.
Hmm. So yesterday it seemed to work after – a couple three and outs. The first quarter wasn't good offensively, DJ. What do you think changed to make the last three quarters much more enjoyable and much more easy to move the football?
I want to say that we probably was tiptoeing in the water in the pool. We put our toes in the pool and had to see the temperature. But then we were just like, F it. We don't care how they playing. We just going to go play our brand of football.
So, DJ, back to the first 15 idea, I think it's interesting that 6 of your first 7 years you were dealing with that, and this was an unusual start to the season. And I think that I'm curious. So after the players approached Shane Waldron, do you give him credit for evolving and changing and adapting to what I think seems now to be working? And do you think this is going to be something that sticks for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you got to give him credit because he could have chosen not to listen, but he heard us out and incorporated it. So you got to give him credit there. And I think that's something we stick with. Even we probably go more in depth with maybe your first 5 third downs and so forth and so forth.
All right. So there's the turn. You got to give him credit. So this is all out in the open. We've wanted for years to have an offensive coordinator who would adjust to the talent and adjust to what the players say they are comfortable with.
Listening to the players.
And that's been lip service. How many times did Matt Nagy give us that lip service and then go back and just do the exact same freaking thing?
Luke Getsy, too.
Every time. So now there's a guy who actually did listen to the players and has a deep enough playbook, a wide enough understanding of the NFL that he can even run the I formation sometimes. He can switch to inside zone runs. He can go to the no huddle and do all of that. That is a bigger good sign than the first 2 weeks was a bad sign.
I agree with you that it should be looked at as a positive. I still have some questions on why Shane went with that approach at the beginning of this. And
me too, especially because he's not a first-time offensive coordinator.
And the thing that's more troubling to me is how no one caught this until the players were like, wait, now we're in regular season games. What are we doing? Why are we not script? I don't like that Eberflus didn't catch that. I don't like that the offensive staff didn't catch that before it got to critical mass of the players being like, this ain't the way that this works in the NFL. But him being open to listening to the players, him then actually making the change, listening, and now we can go back and we can listen to the Mercedes Lewis stuff with different context.
Yes.
That was you talk about too many captains. That was some captain bleep right there.
Yes, not too many captains, as it turns out. Whether it's a statement on your head coach needing this kind of support, I mean, that's open for conversation. But he loves that they have a lot of captains and they have good ones. And Mercedes, if you read Brad Biggs' 10 thoughts today with brand new stuff from Mercedes Lewis about his role as a leader and about Caleb being carried along as a leader with Mercedes helping to push him and enable him and him being on the leadership council, like, Mercedes is a very important dude to what has already gone on this team.
Yeah, you have to have that. And it's perfect for a young quarterback because there aren't any offensive linemen. You would hope that there would be a center that could also do that. And maybe in his own way, Coleman Shelton is doing that. But to have someone like, if Caleb says it and you're like, and then Mercedes is like, no, that's what we're doing. Because that's what he said. Uh-huh. There's not going to be anyone. There's no one, even Keenan Allen, even DJ Moore, with everything they've accomplished in the league.
Yeah.
The only other person that might be able to say something would be Byard. And he's with them. So the fact that you had Mercedes Lewis go, no, this is the way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
This is, and everyone's like, got it. Big Mercedes knows what's up. Let's do it that way.
So, yeah, so you and I on the same page in terms of a big picture of the adjustments being a better good sign than the concerns of the first 2 weeks. Now we get this further today. David Haugh had this information early in the morning, and then Flus kind of completed it. David Haugh had it with like, oh no, it was in, there were openers. There were opener plays. What does that exactly mean? Here's Matt Eberflus when asked about the first 15 this morning at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, I don't know if that's completely all the way accurate. I mean, we always have openers that we practice, and that's a big part of it. And so we have several plays listed as openers. So openers are plays that you're going to use on first and second down. And then obviously you go to your third down script based on the distances. And that's what pretty much everybody does. That was just more of a, you know, communicating with the leadership of the offense, you know, with Shane and myself to be able to, put those in order, you know, so we put those in order. So the guys knew exactly what play one was, play two, so forth, and what the first third down plays were
like a script
and kind of working that way. So, you know, that's an important part of it. You know, guys could practice that. They can rehearse it mentally in their minds. They can rehearse it, you know, obviously in the walkthroughs that they did prior to the game and just basically putting those in order. So that's really all it was. But again, it's just about good communication. Guys working together to get to the right answer, not necessarily your answer, but it's always going to be the right answer for the group.
So like a script is what you're saying, Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
It should be like a script.
But they didn't have nothing, Lawrence. Oh, okay. It wasn't just pure chaos. There were openers. They had first and second.
Right.
And things that he did on first and second.
Those weren't necessarily leading to any place. And the more important...
they didn't really connect to anything else.
The more important part is that ideally, as we were saying in the last segment, the plays that you would put on the script are the plays that you would work on in your game plan for the opponent that you were taking on that next week.
Yeah.
Like, your script isn't necessarily the same week to week, depending on your opponent.
Sure.
So if you said, hey, we think these plays are going to be able to work against this team, and then we can build counters off of those plays later on, that's a really important part
of
coaching and scouting.
Maybe it's not quite a script. It's more like what Larry David provides when they record Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, here's just bullet points. Here's like some plot points that are going to happen along the way.
Yeah, players would like it to not be plot points. Considering how much they are drilled on everything that they know,
sure,
they'd like for their offensive coordinator have a plan coordinated for the game that they're getting ready to play.
It was an outline. There are Roman numerals, and underneath the Roman numerals,
you got to hit the tab button.
Yeah, right. You hit the tab button twice, and then Microsoft Word does it for you automatically. It's like the big A, and then like the small numbers, then the small letters. Maybe there are other ways to do it. Well, look, it's not nothing, but you know what's interesting? It's like some of these guys look for their own inventive, creative ways to do it so they can feel like they're awesome. And like Kevin O'Connell does what Stacey Dales called the priority call sheet. It's not a first 15. Oh, that's so Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh did the first 15. Kevin O'Connell, I've got a priority call sheet, which has more plays, and we might bounce around on it. So Shane Waldron's like, you know what I'm going to do when I get to run my own show? What I'm going to do, I'm just going to have openers. And now, so they came to him and they said, dude, this doesn't work for us as players. Maybe this fits your geniusness idea when you're sitting at the computer at 2 in the morning after 3 scotches, but we're the ones on the practice field. Can you work with us, please?
I'm okay for coaches trying different things. Not everyone should just be robotic. I even don't have a problem with Shane Waldron doing this, except for the fact that it flies in the face of what all the players, like, I'm sure they were sitting there going, okay, so Rolodex of plays?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing?
All right.
That's not a great plan.
These openers. And then they didn't. And there's Flew saying they didn't have third down plays. And there's DJ ending his hit this morning saying, next we're going to have a list of third down plays. So, you know, they're helping him do it in a way that makes sense for them.
But again, if you wanted to look on the completely negative side, and you shouldn't, but if you wanted to, you could go, shouldn't that have been figured out when Shane Waldron was hired? Like, isn't that a conversation?
How would you do this? Or how about July?
What are game days like for you, Shane?
Yeah, how about July? Yeah, absolutely. Well, then Eberflus must have thought, okay, however you want to do it. That's cool. And then, so let's take that further. Because, yeah, should Eberflus have caught that and said, I don't think this is good. I don't think players' mindsets will like that. How about the players at minicamp or then the players in training camp? How about the players the second week of August, maybe not feeling bold enough or not knowing because it's a young quarterback, but one of them could have said, hey, this is weird. This is going to change. Like, I'm picturing DJ as he's walking out of the film room on a Wednesday going, by the way, when we're in the regular season, we're going to have a first 15, right?
Speaks, I think that this is a product of how the Bears do preseason too. I think these are the types of things that you would put your starting unit out there to be like, guys, we're going to run a first 15. We're going to see how that goes. But remember, I think it was, 39, 40 snaps for Caleb Williams in the first team. And I get it, the risk-reward of preseason versus the regular season. But when you're talking about new quarterback, new coordinator, these are the types of things that you want to get squared away before September gets here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good, Lawrence. It's not good. The question is, now that they've got this dialed in.
The good part happened,
yes,
though.
Yes, it did.
The good part happened, so they're moving forward, which I think is excellent.
So what's the next bad thing that could happen with this indication of a lack of a sort of players-centric mindset? Or now that they've connected and they've got the communication going, are we free of that kind of thing?
I want to believe that now that the problem has been aired publicly and internationally, I want to believe that all of that stuff can be pushed behind the team and that now Matt Eberflus is like, okay, mental note, make sure that this runs the way that a regular offense runs, like anywhere else that I've been. Just every now and again, maybe duck your head in on Shane's office and go, let's talk about what you got planned for this week, buddy.
You know what? We all made fun of Eberflus going into the offensive line room. We made fun of Eberflus going into the certain defensive position rooms. He's got to do that. And if he was a part of this, and we know he was a part of this, at least with him saying, all right, guys, thanks for coming to me. Go talk to Shane. You're like, let's go work this out. That would be good. Here's what I would hope, that as they're getting ready to face Green Bay, say, and there's all the first 15 do not even account for Rashawn Gary. Okay. And the offensive players are like, you know, we should probably worry about that guy and maybe run at him or like think about how we're going to deal with him, that they'll bring that up on a Wednesday. They'll bring that up on a Thursday. And Waldron will be like, yeah, no, I hear you guys.
What's our plan for this specific player who could wreck the game?
Good point, guys. Let's talk about it. I love working together like this. And I feel like Shane Waldron is showing you some decent humility in being able to go out there and own it a couple of weeks in a row. When he addresses the media saying, you know, yeah, they came to me, and he followed up on that, and he led with it. Look, I know that this is out there, but this is a good thing. I mean,
I think it's incredible humility
by
him, and I think there are a lot of other coaches that would have fought to the death to not let this become public.
Yes.
I think there are a lot of coaches that would have they would have smeared the name of any reporter who tried to talk about this. Stacey Dales would have been a target for a lot of other coaches for if this would have gotten out.
Damn right. Speak on that, because you have seen that kind of culture time and time again.
100%.
And it destroys organizations.
Absolutely.
Because they spend all kinds of time and like they muscle up and they make it about that and the perceived slight and protecting their reputation as a genius when that's just not how the league has to work anymore.
I was glad to see it, quite honestly. We wanted to hear from you. We've had a chance to talk. Let's hear you talk. 312-644-6767. The Bears are 4-2 at the bye. We want to talk to Bears fans about it. It's Spiegel and Holmes here with you till 6 on The Score.
Williams looking deep, looking for somebody, looking for room. Finds it. He's got a lot of room in front of him. Caleb Williams slides down right around the logo. And that brings us to the two-minute warning, a gain of 24.
I think there was one or two of those. I think right before the half, he had a 23-yarder and a 19-yarder, I believe. We'll recall timeouts, or certainly on one of those. But, you know, that's always an important piece. You see different quarterbacks in the league that can use their feet at a high level, but also are very accurate passers. And I think that's a 1-2 punch that you provide when you have an athletic quarterback.
Damn, I love that from the Flus, that it's about the passers who can also do that. That is what it's about in the NFL.
Wasn't it the same as it ever was?
No, it is not, Mr. Holmes. Hell no. And how about that moment of him sliding down in the middle of the logo?
Not a great slide.
No, it's not a good slide. Not a good slide. But he is lying there in the middle of a European soccer stadium, football stadium, on the NFL logo as the number one overall pick. Like, there's still some little kid dreams that are getting lived out.
Sure.
And that was that hit me in the feels for some reason.
I have it somewhere in the cloud. When the Bears played in the Super Bowl in Miami, I was like the last person out of the space, and I went and had a picture taken on the logo.
See?
So right. I totally get that.
Right? Hey, did you see what Baker Mayfield's jersey?
Dude.
What they did to Baker Mayfield's jersey?
Baker had something to say about it, too. He was asked about it, and he was like, I guess I'm still living rent-free in their head down there in Austin.
Texas put a spear through his jersey and then put it into the middle of the field.
It's a kid from Austin. He's from Austin.
Ouch, babe.
Ouch, babe is right. 312-644-6767 is the number. We are taking your phone calls here on a Bears Monday. Let's talk with Don on the West Side. Hey, Don, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey.
I just want to say, man, we've so shown progress. We've beaten the teams that, you know, we say we're supposed to beat, you know, kind of like the best or the worst of the teams that's, you know, in a same position we are, but not with the same trajectory. So I say now it's time to slay the giant. If you want to say we're a playoff team, you want to say that we're ready to take the next step, I think that, this Washington game shouldn't be too intimidating, and that should be a preparation game moving forward, not to look too far ahead, but, you know, to move forward to a team like Green Bay or when we get within the division, or these teams that are actually playoff teams that we do have on the schedule. So that's what I'm waiting to see next. I'm waiting to see us lay a giant.
I love that that's where your head is. Mine went there too, man. It's like somebody's got to get caught in this division. You know, you got Minnesota 5-0, you got Green Bay playing like they are, you got Detroit as seemingly the class of the division, now without Hutchinson, but you got to catch somebody. Why don't you do it yourself and go ahead and catch the Packers? Wouldn't that be nice?
The thing that I like about it, and it's been weird, like kind of talking with folks on social or YouTube or whatever, where people are like, well, you got to keep in mind it's a bad team. Yeah. And they beat the bejesus out of those bad teams these last 2 weeks. It wasn't squeakers. Like, even the Rams game wasn't a squeaker. They won those games.
Mm-hmm.
And those are games where there have been other Bears teams that would have been tripped up by them. And maybe they do squeak by in those games. Not winning games by four touchdowns and stuff.
It's back-to-back blowouts. So, yeah, point out the badness all you want. It's still the NFL. There's some good players out there. And you blew them out. Twice in a row. It's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's how the whole thing works. Let's go to the south side and talk with Shad. Shad, you're on the score.
It's your boy, Shad.
Oh, Shad. No, no. My bad, Shad. That's on me. That's on me. That's not on the producers. That is all me. Shad, my bad.
Guess what, Lawrence? I'm going to blame it on the mouth sauce from Harold's. Okay, buddy?
Please do.
Good, yo.
Hey, Shad, yep. I remember you at the remote that we did in Gurnee at the movie theater, at the awesome movie theater. You saying that the wall up in Gurnee, that, oh, man, it was so, so good. I remember you saying that you thought they were going to go, what, 3-6? You remember that?
Yes. First 8 games, thought they were going to be looking at a 3-6 trajectory.
And so what has changed? Are you impressed with what you've seen? What have you learned? What do you like?
And this is why I called today, Matt. You're my guy. When I'm vibing, we're vibing, man. It's like we're eating the same edibles. But this is another conversation, okay? Look, I'm going to say this. Matt, the reason I said that, because the first 8 weeks, I looked at the opponents and what I thought the deficiencies would be offensively and defensively, and I thought that we would still need some help in certain spots, which is my main point on my call today. And they actually exceeded expectations. They won games where I didn't think they would possibly win on the road. They were 50-50 if you looked at just paper. So, I mean, I'm actually optimistic, even enthusiastic, comparative to 3 weeks ago when you weren't my brother, when I was absolutely me and my son were shocked and appalled to hear Matt Spiegel lose his enthusiasm.
His enthusiasm.
It's a sorry day in Chicago, but I'm going to tell you what.
He's Mr. Positivity, Shad.
He's Steven Rogers, okay? Let me say this. 3 things out this bye, and I want y'all to talk about this if y'all can. Lawrence. First thing, offensively, I want him to acknowledge that there's an issue with Braxton Jones. I don't care what we talk about or we on dogpile him. There's an issue with pass protection. When we go vertical, he's the guy that's giving up the protection problems. Secondly, we struggle against teams that can run the ball. So run defense is definitely something I want to focus on the defensive line. Third, even though health has been an issue because we haven't had Keelan Island, we need to figure out what kind of run game we're going to have when the weather changes. Because as much as Swift has broken out these last couple weeks, that's been massive with screen game. When it's time to run the ball, Packers got Josh Jacobs. Okay, Vikings got Aaron Jones. We know what they're going to do. They got David Montgomery up there in Detroit. So I want to know if we're going to lean into this power part of the complement offense that we've seen, or are we going to go back to leaning towards the young QB and then we getting weather turnovers? Talk to me, fellas. Always a pleasure.
Shad, I apologize again, but let me speak to some of your points. I'm with you on the Braxton Jones thing and have been for a long time. The running game thing was illuminated to me watching the game with Olin. Olin said to me, he's like, just keep an eye on what happens when they rotate the defensive line in. That's where he thinks the Bears have been more vulnerable in run defense, is when that rotation happens.
That's interesting. They've been playing 4 defensive ends and 4 defensive tackles. Chris Williams and Byron Cowart both played 31% of the snaps on the interior. Taylor and Booker each more than 35% of the snaps on the edge. So, yeah, they are 8 linemen deep.
The other part of it is you're right, too, when it comes to having someone that's going to get those hard yards. And it's not just the running back, it's the offensive line. Can the offensive line impose their will on another team? Watching David Montgomery continue to be hard to tackle, I congratulate him. That's another one of those players where you just kind of bookmark it and go, did they give up on that player too easily, even though he doesn't quite fit? And now you look at the offense that he's in, which is another high-powered offense, and they figured out what his role should be.
Oh, dude, can you imagine? Like,
and he got paid. Yeah, congratulations to him.
Well, and he's the power back. He's the power back there with Jahmyr Gibbs as the speed guy. Swift is theoretically the speed guy, and Roshan so far is the power back.
Maybe he grows into that and it being something that he can do more and more.
Roshan, I don't know. I don't see.
Still runs very high.
He runs very. I watch him sometimes. He's not as tall, but I think Brandon Jacobs when I watch him run sometimes. Like, he's not as tall, but he runs very high and it's very deliberate. And there's power and it's great when that's what is demanded. But I think you're going to need DeAndre Swift to run hard when the weather gets tough, and does he have it in him or not? If you're setting him up like Olin has been talking about, giving him some of those screen passes early, some of those swing passes early, get the lather going, he runs a lot harder later in the game when you do that.
Can I add some new school optimism to this conversation?
Okay.
What if I told you?
What if I told you?
In a world. What if I told you that the run game can be enhanced by what we continue to see Caleb Williams do? And you can turn a short passing game into a run game if done correctly. That you don't, the weather's not so, like most people will think about the snow and the ice. That's not as big of an issue for offenses as wind is. And you know now, you've seen it. Your quarterback has one of the stronger arms in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he's on time and balance. But even when he's off platform, he can make incredible throws. There would have been a time where I've been more concerned that the run game is not quite where it needs to be. I'm not there anymore because I think that the quarterback is able to manipulate it so that it might not look the way that we're used to, but it still works, if that makes any sense.
It makes a ton of sense. Makes a ton of sense.
312-644-6767. Let's go out to Romeoville and Greg. Hey, Greg, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Quick question. Why, if Tyson is or if Caleb is operating the offense and gets them to the finish line in two consecutive games, why do they put Tyson out there to take three and four straight kneel downs for negative yardage? Do they not trust Caleb across the finish line, or are they just protecting his stats?
No, they're not They're not protecting his stats. They're protecting him.
You're not for real, right? Is this actual?
He's not going to get hurt on a kneel down, right?
It depends on who's coaching on the other side.
Greg called a few times with a few different opinions and takes, and I didn't let him through until one made me laugh. And that one made me laugh, so I put that one through. He thinks that the Bears should have traded the number one pick for Tyson Bagent to just be the starter.
Oh, yeah.
Because the only knock against him is throws over 20 yards.
I love it, Greg. Yeah, they trust Tyson to finish the game. He's the finisher. You're exactly right.
Even though they were up four touchdowns.
Well, no, but he's still right. He's technically right that Tyson Bagent has finished the game. I always like looking at the snap counts to see lessons. The last 2 weeks, Tyson Bagent, snap count, 3.
Love it.
Kneel. Kerry Blasingame got in for 3 snaps yesterday. Active.
Personal protector.
Because Nate Davis was not. He and Khalil Herbert yesterday.
At some point today, can we talk about the Nate Davis?
Oh, thing? I think so. 3 snaps for those two guys. Tyler Scott had 3 snaps at the end of the game. And DeAndre Carter had 4. So he must have been in on 1 snap earlier in the game that I don't remember.
Guess what?
What?
We were dead on about that. There was way too much DeAndre Carter.
Way too much, man. He's a punt returner. And as Velas spends yet another game inactive, DeAndre Carter is a gadget guy of need. Yo, he's still on the roster.
Especially with your offensive line concerns.
Yeah, man. And Nate Davis, a healthy scratch yesterday, and we will talk about that. I know we're going to keep taking calls. I also want to add in, to your point about the short passing, there was a moment yesterday late in that game that should be taken with a lot more confidence than perhaps it's been taken with. So we'll get to that as we keep taking your phone calls. Lines open to get in on Spiegel and Holmes, 312-644-6767. Mark Grody at the top of the hour with everything you need to hear from Halas Hall earlier today on The Score.
Quick throw. What a grab. And what a throw. I mean, coming into this game, when we were talking to Caleb Williams, he goes, I think I need to get Keenan Allen a little bit more involved this week. 2 touchdowns, a big fourth down, mission accomplished.
And what everybody said about Keenan Allen is that even though he hasn't got the touches, he knew they would come, but more importantly, his attitude never changed. He was a vet. He kept working. He was like, hey, it doesn't matter. We're getting better. We're growing. Everybody's going to have their moment. And today, he's getting his.
What was the point you were making, Lawrence, about a short passing game being like a running game in the modern NFL?
When you have a guy, especially like Keenan Allen, who's been known his whole career to be a first down getter on third down.
And you got a quarterback who's not just accurate, but knows about ball placement, next level ball placement. That was fourth and three at the Jacksonville 37. Maybe because Cole Kmet is your long snapper at that point, they don't bother to do the punt and pin. But either way, they called a timeout after trying to draw them off sides there. And they went out on fourth and three and hit Keenan Allen for a slant that picked up 8 yards. That's their go-to play for some short yardage moments, and it's a really damn good go-to play.
It's nice to have that in your arsenal and be able to have a quarterback that can get that ball there no matter what the conditions are. And Caleb's going to be tested in that regard. But I think that there is enough visual evidence to go, oh, yeah, that guy can he can make that throw in the coldest of afternoons at Soldier Field.
And I put money on Keenan and DJ. Either of them, to be able to make that catch.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's go to Ottawa and talk with Jake. Hey, Jake, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to kind of comment on some things. So the way the season started, Waldron was definitely real discouraging. I think the not scripting plays was kind of ridiculous. But I do want to give him some credit because the past years of watching the Bears, whenever we go up big, we would just completely shut the offense down. I mean, we just run it into a brick wall 3 times, punt it. I think last year was a good example of that. We had games in the bag, and we just completely dialed down the aggression. And I have to give Eberflus some credit as well because it seems like he has learned from that, even though I agree with Bernstein with him being the fourth best coach in the division. I think he's learned some things, and I think it's shown this year where we've had guys down. We've kept our foot on the throat as far as, like, going for it on fourth down, still throwing the ball, not just basically waving the white flag and trying to – claim victory before it's ours. And
yeah, trying to survive the win instead of putting a punctuation point on it.
Yeah.
A knockout blow.
Appreciate the call. I think it's true. I think Eberflus has gotten a little bit more aggressive. And as you believe more in your team, that should only grow from there.
And you can be more aggressive, too, when you believe in your defense the way that mm-hmm. he clearly does. Like, if it fails, so what? We've got Montez, and we've got Jalen Johnson. We actually do have Jalen Johnson on our show today at 5 o'clock, so
yeah,
make sure you stick around for that. It's going to be fun. We'll find all about the trip that he took.
Funny moment from Montez talking to Keenan Allen, apparently saying, I want to get a sack. Can you guys let me get back out there? The defender being upset that the Bears' offense is dominating the time of possession.
Enough with these 10 and 12 play drives.
Yep.
I'm trying to get paid. Wait a minute. You already got paid, sir. Let the offense work. Rockford and David. Hey, David, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just had a quick question for you guys. I'm just wondering what constitutes a football move because I was watching the game and it looks like that fumble Tremaine Edmonds made. They called it back because he didn't make a football move, but the returner clearly juked to go forward.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. Thought that was a catch and then a step and then a really good peanut punch on a day full of peanut punches all across the NFL. Thought Tremaine Edmonds deserved a forced fumble there.
I agree. It's fine. Luckily, it didn't matter, right? If it mattered, we'd be spending a lot more time on it. But the Bears made it so that it didn't matter at all. But I do think that and there were a lot of games yesterday where that came into play. Because you're right. It was an afternoon of people just being like, peanut punch,
mm-hmm.
peanut punch, peanut punch.
Yeah, the man reinvented that part of defensive football.
He owns Sundays. Charles Tillman owns Sundays.
That's a lot, man. Sundays, there's so much. Brunch? Does he own brunch? Shane, you looked like you had a delightful time. Is that Cody's? Is that where you were yesterday morning?
Yeah, and I don't want to sell Cody's out or anything because it was a wonderful time. But you know that whole rule that we talked about on Fridays where Chicago isn't allowed to sell alcohol before 9 a.m.?
Before 9 a.m., yeah.
Brother, if you want booze before 9 a.m. the next time the Bears have an 8:30 kick, go to Cody's.
That's a little too direct.
We had a great time. Yeah, we walked in. It's a dog-friendly bar, so I brought Willie. We had a great time. We walk in. There's a guy sitting at a Jaeger dispenser, like a Jaeger rep. He's like, hey, you guys want a shot of Jaeger?
What? Hello, yes.
Yeah, we're going to have a shot of Jaeger. 8:42 a.m. yesterday, I had a shot of Jaeger that I served myself. I think that's how they get around it.
That's the key. No one served it for you. It just happened to be there.
There's a mini keg with a bottle of Jaeger chilled. and we poured our own shots of Jaeger.
Where is Cody's?
In Roscoe Village.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's Damon and Belmont.
Great beer garden.
The place is, I love, Willie's had her last four birthday parties there. Like, I love that place. We love Cody's. And they gave us hats. It was a great time. It was a great environment for the Bears game.
I did Fox TV late last night with Eddie.
Yeah, I was with Eddie yesterday, and he told me how much he was looking forward to
it. Yeah, we had a good time. His last name, I can now definitively say, his last name is From Barstool. I believe it's pronounced Frumberstool.
Yes.
So like Day? So it would be like Eddie Day Barstool?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that's originally, before they came over at Ellis Island.
Right. Is Barstooli?
Day Barstoolio. Eddie Day Barstoolio. They said, your name is Eddie From Barstool now. You're Americanized.
I saw you guys were on there together, and I was look at this.
Yeah, man.
You have fun?
Yeah, we have fun. Yeah, with Tina Wen. It's at the chairs. They got a new set. New swanky sweater.
Are the chairs comfortable?
They're comfortable.
I love a good comfortable chair on a television set because you don't always get that.
You know me, Lawrence. I'm a part of that crew. I would like to bring my own desk so I can cover my midsection, if that's all right. I'd like to bring my own desk so I can sit down and just kind of go and just go right there. But I thought it worked out okay.
I thought it did too. You had a little top button swag going on.
Always. Always,
that's
sir.
Your thing.
Who sent us the top button swag? Who was rocking the top button swag that somebody sent us the other day?
Ryan Clark was. He does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because last week, I think I pointed it out. I was like, see, top button swag.
Yeah. It's in a lot of places these days, man.
Maybe Cole? Maybe because Cole's pretty stylish.
Mm-hmm.
But usually he's wearing a tie, so it probably wasn't Cole.
No, it was another media type. I'll find it.
Ryan Baker.
It always could be. Chris Sims, I know, does it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chris Sims did. He was. I was thinking about. I really liked every piece of Chris Sims's outfit last night.
He had the jacket over the top button.
I didn't like it together. That
he
was
the jeans.
That's what I was like. Man, every piece of this is dope. Like those shoes, I thought were really dope.
Mm.
And he's a tall guy, and like tall guys, like you know, you can get away with some stuff. I didn't think he got away with it last night, but he gets away with most of the stuff. He does on him because he looks good.
While we're on clothes, can Andrew Whitworth stop doing the hoodie and sport coat combo? It's done now.
He's found his thing now.
But you do that in the fall a couple times, and then you stop. You can't do it every single weekend.
When you're that big, though, like sometimes you're not able to get the tailored stuff that you like.
Oh, no, I think it's a choice. He could get it. I think it's a choice. He's trying to carve out a lane for himself.
Of big man comfort.
Yeah, big man comfort.
And I'm here for big man comfort.
Yeah, me too, actually.
You know, like let those guys live. I could never, you know what my thing is, Shane? I could never find a hoodie thin enough that I liked underneath a jacket, if that makes sense.
Old Navy. Old Navy has t-shirt grade hoodies.
I do like those. Yep, I do like do. Those.
Are those Dustin approved?
I wore
approved?
One yesterday.
Is Dustin approved of those?
No.
He doesn't, right?
No, you have to put your own collar on it.
It's got
to
be a vest, because he had problems with Craig Council's hoodie vest thing, but Dustin himself wears vests. I don't know. There's a lot.
I found myself Friday when we had Dustin on after you left. Agreeing a lot with Dustin.
Oh, no.
It sucks, right? Like when you get to that place where you're like, damn, that guy's got a lot of good thoughts.
Yeah.
This is why I can't leave to chase sundown, no matter what the holiday is.
I'll say it until the cows come home. I love Dustin.
Dustino.
He's the
best. He was on it, for sure. We need to take a break because we got to talk with our guy, Mark Grody. He is represented by this Bear here, if you're on Twitch. He's going to talk Bears. He's got sound for you. You don't want to miss it. It's next here on The Score.